You are listening to the Stetson Students Podcast, where we post all of the series and messages from our student ministry. We are a ministry connected to Stetson Baptist Church, where we are for DeLand and for Jesus. If you would like to learn anything more about our ministries, please check out our social medias or go to StetsonBaptistChurch.org. How are we feeling tonight? Good? Yeah? Yeah? Hey, I want to know, is anybody in here done with school? Anybody? Okay, a few in the room. Wow. Are y'all like relieved? It's like, oh. Is anybody in here like in the worst week of school? Like right before? Is it, I don't know, for me, even like high school and college was the same of the last few weeks, it felt like every teacher just had a vendetta against you. And they're like, you've been awful to us all year long. So we're going to be awful to you for the last 2 weeks, right? And we're going to give you all this homework and papers and tests upon test upon test. So I don't know, that might have just been me. Hey, we're going to be in Colossians 3 tonight. If you would like to take notes, we have some notebooks. Just raise your hand and a leader will bring you one of those while you flip there. I want to start us with a question as we've been walking through the series, The Greatest Summer Ever. I want to know, where do you see yourself in a week? Like if you could fast forward in your life a week, where do you see yourself? Malachi? Oh, yeah. Oh, for the, yeah, that's fair, Raisin. Who wants to answer the question? Where do you see yourself in a week, Will? Defeating in 9 Square. All right, so yeah, you'll be here in a week, Paige. Defeated in 9 Square, that's fair. Evie? Eating cereal here for, yes, absolutely, for anything but a bowl night. Caitlin? At home, doing your homeschool. Wait, did you not raise your hand? Oh, wait. Are you full year round for school? Oh, that's fair. That's fair. Catherine? Here? Absolutely. I love that. What about a month? Where do you see yourself in a month from now? Ray? Playing basketball at rock climb? Awesome. Malachi? Are you in a monkey mask? That's kind of weird. All right. Up front, both. During summer, that's a good answer. Okay, what about a year from now? Oh, now we're getting somewhere. A year from now. You think you know exactly where you're going to be a year from now? Where? Here? You're going to be here a year from now on this date? Well, I think it's going to be like a Tuesday next year, so I don't know if you'll be here. If you are, go home. I don't know. Somebody new. All right, Eli, a year. You're going to be graduating next year. Wow. Wow. Yeah. Walking across the stage. That's if you pass. Big if. No, I'm just kidding. You're going to do great. All right. Here we go. You ready? 5 years from now. Where are we going to be? Paige, you are way too quick. You know where you're going to be 5 years from now? Where? An ant? Oh, an ant. Like you're going to be an, I think you meant like the bug. And I was like, I don't know if that's how that works, but I guess in 5 years, the law can change. Colin. Huh? Military? Awesome. Let's go. Preston. Huh? In high school? Yep, Miles. You'll be an adult. Oh, Sophie, right? Sophia. Graduating in 5 years? Wow. All right, what about, here we go, 10 years from now. Whoa, you're giving me the eyes. That's like double your age. No, I'm just kidding. 10 years from now. Rayo, you know where you're going to be in 10 years? Huh? Where? Hey, let me get your autograph now, and I will cash it later. Addie in the back. You'll be 22 years old in your bed. Okay. All right, well, get some sleep, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. All right, what about, let's go crazy. What about 20 years? 20 years from now, you're like longer than you've been alive. Thomas? Huh? Still unemployed? I'm sorry, man. Oh, no. Hey, I think I might have higher hopes for your life than you do right now. So let's get that up. So confidence is a good thing. Connor? Struggling to pay rent? Oh, guys, life is good, I promise. I promise things are okay. All right, here we go. You ready? 50 years from now? Where do we think we're going to be 50 years from now? Okay, a lot of you. All right, just shout them out. Where are you going to be in 50? Christine. All right. Everybody, calm down. Christina, I just need y'all to know, Christina, who leads worship up here, she said, I'll be dead. So, Paige, no, I'm sorry, Jacob, close your ears. Where am I going to be in what? In 50 years? Right here, baby. 50 years, yeah. 50-year tenure. So, I looked up, I just wanted to know a week, a month, once we get into the big numbers, like, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, would y'all agree? Like, that's a long time, right? Like, some of you are like, I don't know, and I've never thought about that, and I don't want to, right? Again, Thomas, very, very sorry for your future of unemployment. I think we can work on that. Let's get a resume together. But it made me think, like, what is the average lifespan of a person's life? I know this is very morbid. You're like, you're in the prime of your life, right? Why are we talking about the end of it? It's okay. And this is by ChatGPT, which is always correct, right? A man's average lifespan in America is 76 years, and a woman's average lifespan is 81 years. I don't think it surprises anybody that a woman lives longer than a man. I think that just kind of shows, like, the life that we live. Like, guys are dumb sometimes, I'm telling you, man. But what's crazy is, so the average lifespan is 76 years, 81 years, which means, I'm sorry, spoiler alert, we're all gonna die. Ooh, yeah. I know, I'm sorry. But it's true, we're all gonna die. But here's the thing, this is the good news. Death is not the end. Yeah, right. Yeah, death is not the end. But, and here's the point that we're going to be talking about tonight, and what everything's going to point to is, you were made for forever. Like, you were made for forever. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. I'm sure you've been introduced to it at some point, but you were made for forever, meaning this life is not all, it's not it. It's not like we get to the end of the life and we go, oh, that's, checking out. No, there's something in our lives and who we are lives on for forever. Now, let me tell you, I'm going to kind of step back into high school Nate's mind. I remember thinking through this and it made me so anxious and worried. I don't know why, but thinking about forever, I was like, I don't know if I can handle that. Like, a lifetime seems like a long time. I've been alive, 23 years, and that's a short amount of time, but in my mind, it's long. And then, you times that by four, you're at like 90 years, and it's like, whoa, that's a long time. But that's not going to be the it. I'm going to live forever. That made me really scared. I don't know how it makes you feel, but that always gave me a lot of anxiousness and worry in my thoughts. Now, it gets me very excited. I've actually changed dramatically in that. It actually excites me to think about that I was made for forever. And I'm going to tell you why, and we're going to see why in Colossians 3 and our time tonight from what Paul says. So starting in verse 1, it's just going to be a short four verses, okay? Hey, Jackson, I need you to quiet down for me, okay, buddy? Thank you. All right, starting in verse 1, it says this. Paul says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. So pause real quick. Paul really introduces two things here. He tells us we need to think about things above, but he precedes it by saying, you do this if you are a follower of Jesus. Now, I need to step into this room real quick and say, you might be in here going, Nate, that's not me. And here's what I'm going to tell you, man, please don't go off and don't just throw everything else I say out, because I want it to be you and I think it should be you. And I want to tell you, man, being a follower of Jesus is so good. And there is a promise of what Jesus has for us that we're going to talk about tonight, of living forever in eternity for forever, that is very, very good. But in order to get it, in order to receive the gift and the promise that he has of joyousness and great living for forever, only comes by following him. That is a big bullet point. There is no, oh, well, here's the little side door. or here's how we can get around that. No, it only comes from being a follower of Jesus. What does it look like to be a follower of Jesus? It means to understand that we are broken. We are sinful people. You realize like we do things wrong. We were made for a perfect purpose, but we've broken that and we do things wrong and a lot of it. And we could not save ourselves, but we needed somebody to save us. And that was Jesus. Jesus came, lived the life we were supposed to, a perfect life, died the death that we deserve, taking on the penalty for our brokenness and sin, and rose from the grave. And he said, if you follow me, if you believe that I've done this and follow me and live the life that I've called you to, this is the promise for you. That's what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. Okay. I needed to tell you that because if we don't know that, everything else that comes after it doesn't matter. So if you are a follower of Jesus, he then says, seek God and where he is and the good things that he has. Set your mind on things that are above. Verse 3, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So he says, man, seek the things that are above. Seek good things because you have put to death, you have stopped doing all of the selfish and sinful things. Like you have stopped caring only for yourself and you've started pursuing Jesus and God again. He says, you have put all that away and you get to be with God forever while he is being praised. That's what Paul says. He says, you're going to be with Christ. And he says, in his glory. And when I think of glory, I think of praise. In this, I honestly think of like an example of, have y'all ever seen a video maybe where like a star artist is hosting a concert and he or she brings somebody on stage? Have y'all ever seen that? Like they bring some, like I bring just a regular fan on stage. Has anybody ever seen that? Am I alone in that? I see those videos all the time and they're like, they're awesome. Because sometimes they get them up there and they start singing and it's like, sometimes it's really good. Sometimes it's really bad. I like those ones a little bit better. That's just a guilty pleasure of mine. But they bring a regular fan up there to be up with the star. I think that's a great image of what it's going to be like to be with Jesus. Like we're going to be up there with him, hanging out, being close to him, enjoying life. But all the more, we all know all the eyes are on Jesus. Man, if I'm a regular fan coming up on the stage with a celebrity or an artist that I've paid a lot of money to come see, and I get up on stage, listen, my family or my friends might be the ones looking at me like, look, Nate's up there, but every eye is still on the star. But we get to be a part of it. We get to be there with him, enjoying it all the more, even knowing this is not my show. Knowing this is not about me, but I get to enjoy being near him, with him, and around him. So what does this mean? So I know it's like, man, seek the things that are above. Sometimes Paul just uses language and you're like, man, this goes right over our head. But I want to bring it into maybe, I don't know if you're a visual learner. I kind of am sometimes. I think about it this way. This is a graph that I think really portrays a lot of what I'm talking about. So here's a graph. You see life, joy, and happiness. Life is full of, obviously see you the lot of ups and downs, right? Like, I don't know. I think of graduations are probably a pretty high one. Right? Getting a girlfriend or a boyfriend is a pretty high one. Getting a grade on the class that you really wanted, or scoring a touchdown or a basket in the final minutes of the game, or a goal in the final minutes of the game, you're going to see some highs and lows. Getting married, getting a job, some of these highs, right? But also life's full of a lot of lows. I don't know. Parents separating. Somebody in your life dying. Hey, I see a high of I got in a relationship. What about the low when they break up with me? Hey, I made an A on a test, but what about when I make a F or a D? Or what if I get caught using ChatGPT in class? Right? All right, now we're getting somewhere with some of you. Man, so what we see is when we look at life, and we talked about this a little bit last week. We talked about this a little bit last week of, man, if we look at our lives, they're full of ups and downs, good moments, bad moments, and times in between of heading one way or the other. But what Paul is saying is he's offering us a different route. He's offering us this route. There it is. this life of increasing in joy and happiness and contentment. Now, here's what I want us to see. Go to this last image. Just because my joy and happiness can increase does not mean my life differs anymore. I can still go through getting an A and getting an F. I can still go through getting in a relationship and breaking up. I can still go through seeing my family love each other and seeing my family break up. And still, in the midst of all of it, my joy and happiness can be ever increasing. And you might go, well, Nate, how do you do that? Like, what does that look like? How does that make sense? And it makes sense by how Paul calls us to live, by seeking the things that are above, by seeking Jesus and his kingdom in the midst of all of it, by realizing, even in my present moment, I am made for forever. My life will continue on. When this life ends, there is still forever to come. And so when you think of things in that mindset and in that lens of in this moment, I'm still going to live forever, the things of this time and the things of this world become increasingly smaller. And so for the rest of our time, this is what I want us to see. I want us to answer this question. How do I have contentment, constant joy now by focusing on forever? How do I have consistent joy now, the joy of that white bar consistently going up now by focusing on forever? And it's two things. First is believing that forever with Jesus is going to be perfect. Hear me, perfect. Not okay, not good, not great, not awesome. Forever with Jesus is going to be perfect. Listen, you might have heard some Christian lingo or Christianese, if you will, of eternity. Eternity means forever. And when you think of eternity with Jesus, you think of what word? Oh, nobody knows. It starts with an H. Heaven, right? Yeah, it's not a trick question. You think of the word heaven. I think sometimes we have this weird vision of what heaven's going to be. And we don't fully comprehend or know, like, what is heaven? Let me tell you, when you break down what heaven is, it is simply dwelling with God. It is being with God in the way and relationship that you were always meant to be. Think about it this way. Who in here would say, I have a best friend? And I have, yeah, everybody. Great. I just saw some, do y'all dap up? All right, cool. So who in here, let me ask you this, has ever been hurt by a friend? Right? Okay. Everybody raise their hand. I know I've been hurt before. Let me tell you, I'm sure you know this. When you go through a hurt or a pain in a relationship and somebody hurts you to your core, that relationship changes, right? Like, things are just different afterwards. You're scared that they're going to do it again. Maybe they never apologized in the first place. So you resent them, or maybe even if you're honest, in a lot of ways, you hate them. This is what we've done to God. We had a perfect relationship with him that we were created to live in, and we broke it. He called us to live a certain way, a good and perfect way, and we said, no, we want to live our own. We want to do things our way. I want to be happy with myself, not with what you have for me. And we hurt that relationship. We broke that relationship. Man, what heaven is, what forever is that we get to live with God is being back in that relationship in the way it was always meant to be. Restoring that relationship, having forgiveness from God and being with him. Being the friend and the follower of him that we were always created to be. Now, I wanted to see, okay, that's great what I say about heaven, but man, what does scripture say about heaven? What does the word of God tell us heaven is going to be like? And I just picked a few verses. I'm telling you, you can go and find so much more, but I just want us to see how perfect heaven is going to be. So I'm going to kind of rapid fire through some of these. You can write down the verse if you would like to, but just bear with me through it all. So Revelation 21 says it this way. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eye. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Man, we will be, again, dwelling with God in the relationship that we're always meant to have with him. But the best part, there will be no pain. There will be no mourning. There will be no suffering, and there will be no end. There will be no death. There will be no sadness throughout it all. In other places, it said, in my Father's house are many rooms. If this were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. This is Jesus speaking. He literally says he is going to prepare a place for you. He's going to make it a place that you're going to enjoy. You are in his thoughts when he is creating heaven. Like he is not looking down saying like, this is it and you got to deal with it. He's looking down saying, I know this is what you're going to love and I can't wait for you to experience it with me. He also says, the wall was built of jasper while the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. Man, I don't want to get into the details of this, but truly what it's saying is heaven is going to be a wondrous and beautiful place. It's going to be grander than we could ever imagine. We're going to walk into it and we're not going to be like, man, this could be better. Like it's going to blow our mind. Forever with God is going to be amazing. 1 Corinthians, with no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who he loves. And literally, forever with God is going to be better than you could ever think. I want us to do this, like real quick. That'll be our last verse. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to imagine what was the best moment of your life. You don't have to say it out loud. Just think about it. The best moment of your life. The thing that when you're like, man, when I think of utter joy, I think of this moment. I think of this game. I think of this hangout. I think of this relationship, whatever it is. Can I tell you, heaven is going to be so much better than that. That's not even close to the joy and goodness that is waiting for us with God for forever, never ending. Man, I told you I was anxious about it. Now I'm excited about it. That's why. Because it's not going to be a time where there's not going to be a time we are with him forever. We're going, man, I wish this wasn't, you know, it's not all it's cut out to be. Or I wish there was an end. No, we are going to enjoy it each and every moment. And listen to me. This is not some fairy tale. This is a reality. And this can be our reality. But only by our second point tonight, which is let Jesus be your life. And this comes straight from verse 4 when it said, when Christ who is your life appears. When Christ who is your life appears, let Christ be your life. I think sometimes we have had this misconception of what it looks like to follow Jesus. Like maybe you've been told it's this special prayer, you're locked in, you're good. I gotta tell you, that's not true. Man, this life is promised to us, but only if we are true followers of Jesus. And being a true follower of Jesus looks like letting Jesus be your life. I've heard it put this way one time. A lot of us think about our relationship with Jesus as it needs to be one of my top priorities in my life. Like if I had a checklist of my day, it's number one. Like checklist, I need to read my Bible. Got that done. Did that. That was the first thing I did before I woke up or when I woke up. Oh, prayer. Need to do that. Checklist. Got it. I'm good. Now I can go live my actual life. It's a top priority. And that's not true. My following of Jesus isn't a top priority of my life. It is the paper on which all of my priorities are listed on. It is the paper. It is the thing that influences everything that I find important. I put it this way, following Jesus is not a decision that we make, but it is a life that we live. Following Jesus isn't a decision that you make in one moment and say, I'm good for the rest. I've done that, now I can go live my life. Or maybe I want to live my life now, so I'm not going to make that decision until I get done with such and such thing. Hey, Nate, that's awesome. Jesus sounds great. I want to enjoy high school. I want to enjoy the social life that comes with it. Hey, Nate, I love that you love Jesus, and man, I want to love Jesus, but my friends don't love Jesus, and I want to continue to hang out with them. And so I'll make that decision later. It's not a decision we make. It is a life that we live. It is asking the question, how can I honor Jesus in every situation? How can I honor Jesus in my relationship with my parents? By respecting them and honoring them and obeying them. It is honoring Jesus in my friendships by speaking in a way that shows that I'm a follower of him, by holding my friends accountable to do the same, by looking at my friends and saying, are they followers of Jesus? Man, it looks like obeying your teachers. It looks like listening in class. Man, it looks like being the same person with this group of friends as with that group of friends. And can I also tell you, it looks like being the same person in front of people and in private. And obeying Jesus, living a life of Jesus, is not just a decision we make, but it is a life that we live. And let me tell you, here's the good thing though. Every change that you make towards a life that honors and obeys Jesus is better. I can tell you this verbatim. Fully. There's never been a decision that I've made to follow Jesus better that I've looked back on and said, I regret that. But I'll tell you this, there's so many decisions that I've made for myself saying, I know Jesus wants me to do this. I know this is better for my relationship with Jesus, but I'd rather do this. There's so many of those decisions that I've made and I have regretted and I do regret. It is better. It is better here, but especially because of the promise that comes with forever. I said this at the beginning. Again, this is what our whole night is about. You were made for forever. That's it. You were made for forever. Now the decision that sits before us is this. Am I going to live forever with Jesus, which is going to bring me tremendous joy? No pain, no sorrow, and utter peace in all circumstances now and later? Or am I going to live forever apart from him? Am I going to live forever apart from him because I want to enjoy the things of now? Am I going to let this temporary time that we have here influence my eternity, influence my forever? Or am I going to let my eternity, my forever with Jesus, affect my temporary time now? I'm telling you, that is the better route. That is not only the route that is going to be good for your time later, but as you enter a relationship with Jesus, and as you continue to follow him, and as you follow him more and more, you actually get to look back on your life and go, man, I'm glad I did that even for the now. I'm glad that I'm letting my relationship with Jesus affect my decisions today. I'm glad that I'm letting my relationship with Jesus affect my relationships. I'm glad that I'm allowing my relationship with Jesus affect my life, my hobbies, everything about me. Listen, we're gonna sing and we're gonna praise. Man, maybe you're sitting in this room saying, Nate, I've never made that decision. I've never made that decision to follow Jesus and let my forever be with him. Man, if that's you, I'm going to be in the back of the room. We have adult leaders in the room. I'd love to talk to you about what that looks like. For others in this room that you're saying, man, I have made the decision. And let us praise and worship him right now for the offer of salvation that he has given us. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening. We hope you have a great week and that you are a light for Jesus. Grace and peace.